because my eyes are upon you. La 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 la, it's in you. My eyes are upon you. La la la, my heart is in you. I cannot hear what the future holds. All you hold the future in your hands. I cannot hear what the future holds. All you hold the future in your hands. In my eyes, my eyes are upon you.
Father, we give you the praise.
I cannot be alone. I cannot be alone. I
thank you, Master. We worship and honor and adore you. Blessed be your name for this moment. Breathe upon this crowd. Everyone watching via the satellite, the internet, all around the world. Let not one person leave here the same way they have gone. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Welcome you all tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. The day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh. Subject tonight is faith destroyers. Faith destroyers. We have as an objective understanding the factors that can destroy or demolish your faith. Faith is a spiritual structure, like this structure, but spiritual tie. That is why it's a building your faith. Faith is a spiritual structure that can be constructed by some factors
and also can be demolished by other factors. Faith is a spiritual structure that can be demolished by some factors, constructed by some factors, demolished by other factors. Faith is a spiritual structure, a spiritual force. That's the next thing to note. Faith is a spiritual force that can be intensified by some factors and can be neutralized by some other factors. You can intensify your faith if you did certain things. We mentioned them already. And you can neutralize your faith by certain things. Other way to say it, thirdly, is that there are things that can raise your faith. And there are things that can ruin your faith. Faith can be raised by some factors. And faith can be ruined by some factors. Another way to say it finally is that there are factors that can grow your faith. And there are factors that can blow your faith. Your faith can grow and your faith can blow. It can be blown up. Because of the vital importance of faith, we are here tonight to know those things that must be avoided if our faith must not die. Number one is the hearing of the ear. And in this case, the wrong hearing. The hearing of the ear. The wrong hearing. If faith cometh by hearing the right thing, faith liveth by hearing the wrong thing. If faith can come, faith can go. Faith is strengthened by the right hearing, and faith can be weakened by the wrong hearing. If you look at two examples, first of all, the Israelites before Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 11, when they heard the braggadocious talk of the Philistine, the Bible said, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That is, their faith disappeared. There are things you hear that can disappear your faith. Their faith disappeared. Second example is Israel in the front of the ten spies. In Numbers chapter 13 and in verse 31 to verse 33. Numbers 13 and in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Go ahead. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Faith died. Fear came. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, we wish, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or we wish God would have allowed us to die in this wilderness. By the hearing of the ear, their faith died. Am I communicating at all? There are people who are high on bad news and low on good news. The ratio of the bad things they hear is higher than the good things they hear. Listen. That is, the man sat in front of the constant negative news on CNN or any of those networks. From morning till night. Terrorism attack in Afghanistan. Some people beheaded in somewhere. Terrible tsunami somewhere. Earthquake happened somewhere. Some mother suicide situation. Father killed son and killed himself. And then they choke themselves with this kind of news permanently. Look into the internet and further news if there is anything like that. The outcome of it, and then they are low on the word. He hasn't listened to the Bible today. He hasn't read a passage of scripture yet. He hasn't listened to a tape message. He hasn't listened to a worship yet. He's loading himself and loading himself on this negativity. Listen to this. Your fears will be stronger than your faith if your consumption of bad news is greater than your consumption of good news. Your fears will be greater than your faith. That is, it is not possible for faith to survive. Your fears will be greater than your faith if your consumption of bad news is greater than your consumption of good news. Bad news from the air. Bad news from professional carriers of bad news. There are people that you see, they never have anything good to say. So somebody died here, or somebody, something happened there. Say, terrible, we live in a very terrible world. Let me just tell you what I just heard. There are people who are permanently like that. Listen to this. You may not have the control over some of the bad news you hear. You may not have the control because you turned in the air something and then you just heard it, or somebody just said it. You didn't have that control. But you have the control over your good news intake. You have the control over the massive intake of light, massive intake of revelation. Let the light you receive exceed the night that is around. And then your faith is guaranteed strength. Very, very important. The hearing of the ear. There are people, all manner of terrible movies that they hear things, terrible magazine garbages, and they just choke their spirit with what will make faith impossible. If your faith must be alive, you must be aggressive in the intake of light. Aggressive in the intake of insight. Aggressive in the intake of revelation. Aggressive. Books, tapes, DVDs, just on permanently. Because we live in a world of bad news, and as you know, bad news sells more than good news. There are people, whole media practitioners and journalistic kind of people, there are those whose main profession is centered on evil news. Hallelujah. Destroyer of faith, one, the hearing of the ear, the wrong hearing. Number two, the sight of the eye, the wrong sight. The wrong sight. What you see can cause your faith to perish and make your fear to flourish, or cause your faith to flourish and make your fear to perish. What you see. What you see can cause your faith to flourish and make your fear perish, or cause your faith to perish and make your fear to flourish. What you see. You know, Goliath used both sight and sound for Israel. He was armed to the teeth, like they say. He had the helmet. He had you, and he was a giant already. He had his feet shod. He had his chest covered. He had somebody, an armor bearer, in front of him bearing a shield. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24 says, when all Israel saw, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and we were so afraid. When they saw the man was an intimidating sight. There are sights and sounds that must be avoided if possible, if your faith must flourish. Am I communicating? Not everything they send to you on WhatsApp you must watch. There are those who don't know what it is, you delete it on the spot. Not every video or DVD they give you, you watch. Because some came to practically attack your faith. And the devil knows the value of your faith. He knows that your life is anchored on your faith. The just shall live by his faith. So he strategically organizes things to ruin your faith in order to ruin your life. You remember Peter? In Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 28, that's our second example. Peter saw Jesus walking on the sea. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, make me come to you on the water. Bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What he saw, the sight of Jesus walking on the water, exploded his faith. Positive sight. And he began to walk. Now listen. For as long as Peter focused on that word come and focused on the master, his faith was intact and the water was solid. He looked away from this storm that was on. But go ahead. But the moment he saw, somebody say saw, the wind was already there. The storm didn't just start. It was there while Jesus was walking on it. If you read the whole, it was their sins. But for as long as Peter ignored the sight, he maintained his faith. But the moment Peter decided to concentrate on the storm, his faith disappeared, fear appeared, and result disappeared. Faith disappeared first because light had to go before darkness will come. Faith disappeared, fear appeared, and the result disappeared. How did I say so? Because when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. For as long as your faith is intact, your result is in place. But when your faith is out of place, your result can never be in place. By the sight of the eye. Beloved, if your faith must remain in place, there must be the determination to be moved only by faith, not by sight. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7. To be moved only by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians rather. To be moved only by faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. There are many things that will confront you by virtue of sight. Maybe a negative medical report. And something like that was handed over to you. And like it happened to a woman in this church, they said she was HIV positive. She said, no, that's not my result. Lab scientist, give me my result. Later on, it was discovered truly, it was not her result. I hear of children cartoons today that are demonic cartoons.
You know some of them. I don't want to call names. There's one they call, is it something 10 or something like that? That this child, as soon as that thing turns on, he begins to cry. Later on, they found out what's happening. He said, that figure there, I used to see him in the dream every night, flogging me. Another one told the parent that that particular cartoon figure comes in the night to carry the child to a distant place for meeting. And then returns the child back. And he shouldn't tell anybody. I heard of a small boy who carried a knife and killed his brother. And they asked me what happened. He said, that this one told me to do it. While they are watching, he is hearing the sound from the cartoon, saying something else to him. I heard that one mother was told how dangerous some of those things are. And the mother said, well, if the cartoon keeps them busy for me. That is, you hand your children over to the devil so you can be free. Sight. Very, very important. Some of the sites are violent crime sites. Violent. In the days we are in, they easily send people. Somebody was beheaded. So just send it out by either kidnapper or terrorist or something. The question is, what does that do to build your faith? How does that enhance your dignity? And there are things you watch that the devil uses to begin to fashion negative imagination. Medical reports. And then there is one site we shall not ignore. It is called negative dreams. It's a site too. The devil paints it in the night. He's showing you himself inside the coffin. And he said that you are the one. But to walk by faith, not by sight. A pastor told me he was watching our convention, November convention, all the way in the UK. He had lost some people in his family. And suddenly he began to dream very, very terrible dreams. Literally every night. One terrible dream or the other. One terrible dream or the other. And then it's not the kind of person who takes dreams seriously. But because of the negative things that happened around him, began to dream terribly. Then he heard me speaking during the convention. The Bible said, the just shall live by his faith. Not the just shall live by his dreams. You don't let dreams control your life. You let your faith control your life. What you saw out of scripture is what is more important than what you saw in the dream of the night. Woo! What you saw by yourself is more important than anything the devil showed you by night. He said when that happened, as if something broke, bam, that was the end of dreams. Terrible dreams. Disastrous dreams. Because it looked like the devil knew he was being influenced by it. The devil knew he was imparting him. The devil knew it was affecting him. The devil knew he was believing it. So he kept on showing him. It doesn't matter how terrible that dream is. If it is contrary to the scripture, it is chaff. And what you do with chaff is to trash it. Some of us, you have been seeing a lot of chaff. Stand up on your feet and say, in the name of Jesus, every chaff around my life, I command you, in the name of Jesus, catch fire. Catch fire. What do you do to chaff? What do you do to chaff? Say, every chaff around my life, catch fire. Catch fire. Catch fire! This is Jeremiah chapter 23. I'll read verse 28. Listen. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff compared to the wheat? The dream is chaff. The word is grain. Fear the Lord of hosts. So everything, every time you see anything that does not line up with the word, it equals chaff. He that has a dream should focus on the dream. He that has my word should focus on the word. Do you compare chaff with wheat? No. There are worded dreams, there are revelative dreams, and there are chaffy dreams. Establish the revelation. Roast the chaff. Is God speaking to somebody here? I told somebody the other day. I said, if all the dreams that we saw in life happen, many of us would have died since. That is whether you prayed about it or not. If they happened, the things you dreamt, if all the things you dreamt happened, you won't be here. Would have died since. That's why the Bible calls it chaff. And if it is chaff, it must be roasted. Today I stand by the authority of the Lord to roast every chaff around your life, every chaff around your family, every chaff around your destiny, every chaff around your loved ones. I declare, they are roasted by fire. If you are saying amen, shout the loud and say amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loud and say amen. Every time you get a chaff, look for a grain, knock it out. Get one light, get one scripture, get one revelation. Give it a technical knockout and then set the chaff on fire. That is, it is chaff versus wheat. He's telling you when you get a chaff, look for wheat to neutralize it. Say, what is chaff compared to wheat? He that has a dream, let him tell. He that has my word, let him tell. What is chaff to wheat? So the dream is the chaff. The word is the wheat. The wheat has more weight than the chaff. So look for wheat and sink the chaff. I need to say this because a lot of demonic manipulations happen in the dream realm. A lot of satanic manipulations that influence people's convictions and the basis of people's expectations, they happen in the night. But today is the end of it forever. Say the loudest amen. Take your seat and I'll tell you a story very shortly when I mention one of the other points. So, the hearing of the ear. Number two is the sight of the eye that is a destroyer of faith. And number three, confrontations by the enemy. There are enemy confrontations that come to destroy faith. We call them confrontations of conviction. That is the basis of what the Bible calls the fight of faith. The fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, Paul the Apostle speaking said, fight the good fight of faith. So faith always require a fight. And the fight is a confrontation of conviction. The fight is a challenge of persuasion. What you believe, what you are persuaded about, the enemy wants to shake it. You know, I said some time ago, every time you take a stand, the enemy would like to shake the ground. And you would like to say, this is my stand. Then say, okay, let me see if I can shake it. Whether you will still remain standing. That was why he told Peter, say, Satan desire to sift you. To sift. You know the way they sift to separate chaff and wheat. To sift you like wheat. What I have prayed for you. So that when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren.
That was what happened. When the enemy wants to decide to confront your belief, to challenge your persuasion, so that you can drop your faith, so that you can stop talking the way you are talking, so that you can stop believing the way you are believing. See, this boy is too, he has mouth too much. He's talking too much. In Acts chapter 4 verse 16, they did that to the apostles. Acts chapter 4 verse 16 to 17, saying, what shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. God is about to do something in our lives, in our land, in our midst, that no devil can deny. He's about to do something for you that nobody can deny. And we cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. In this name. That is when the devil threatens and challenges you. Let us do something to them to make them stop saying that Jesus can heal. To make them stop saying that Jesus can deliver. Let's do something to make them stop saying that Jesus is Lord. To make them stop saying that Jesus can change your life. So that people can begin to say, if Jesus can change your life, why has he not changed your own life? It's a confrontation of conviction. But that devil is a bastard liar. Nebuchadnezzar said, and let me see the God who can deliver you from my hand. Look at it in Daniel chapter 3. Maybe I'll start from verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? That shall deliver you out of my hands. Let me see the God who can free you. That is what is called the fight of faith. The confrontation of conviction. You say you believe in what you claim to believe. Let us see how that belief will change your story. That devil is a bastard liar. And as I'm talking now, there are many people who are expressing one thing or the other, directly or indirectly. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the truth of the matter is, God heard it. God heard it. He heard it in heaven. Because this Nebuchadnezzar became an animal in the next chapter. He went to the Babylonian University of Agriculture. Not as a student, but as a specimen. To learn zoology, forestry, by being an animal for 7 years. Take your seat. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God, whom we serve, that you have challenged like this, we are not going to be careful to answer you in this matter. If it is so, when, as you are saying, let us see the God who serve, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver. Somebody say, he will. Out of your hand, O king. That was a concluded. But if not, some people may be saying, is that doubt? No, I'll tell you that later. Let it be known to you that you will not serve your gods. I'll tell you about that later. It's very sweet what he meant. He is able to, and he will. That was concluded. You are challenging the God we are serving. The God we are serving will show you that he is able and he will do it. You will watch it happen. I'll address the second one later. It's a confrontation of conviction. It happened to Daniel. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 20, when they threw Daniel into the lion's den. And when he came to the den, that is the king, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "Oh Daniel,
servant of the living God,
is thy God,
whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions, is thy God, your church. Did it help you?"
Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king,
I have done no hurt." Go ahead, all the way to verse 23.
Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him. Because of what?
Look at your neighbor, say, "Faith will win." God win equals faith win.
Yeah. Faith must, fact and faith can fight, but faith will win at the end. Did you hear what I said? Just said, fact, the facts of life and faith in God may appear to be in contention, but faith in God wins at the end.
You know, I think it was in the year of 1983 or 84, God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo preached a very brutal message titled "Victory Over Death."
You will live, you will fulfill your days.
Those kind of brutal, and in those days, not today, is a bit calm, except if he charges, but in those days, he literally roars.
After he preached such brutal message and went home,
he said, "Death arrived." He just finished preaching "Victory Over Death." His eye began to turn. The room began to turn. His life began to leave, becoming breathless and all of that. He was wondering. And he said he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit saying,
"What are you doing here?" Something like, "Will you watch yourself die like that?" And he had, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I don't know myself." Got up out of the floor, out of the bed,
carried his car key, entered the car. He said, "Death, I am traveling now. And the journey was almost 7 hours journey. Let's meet on the road." If you want to kill a person, the highway is the best result. Let's meet on the road. Enter this bit of boom. Drove for another 7 hours, I think, between Ilorin and Kaduna, something. Death found his level. He says, "You have said victory over death. Let me show you how powerful, terrible death is." Death came to challenge what he just said.
Faith wins. Faith wins. I heard from a man of God in South Africa, Pastor Ray McCauley. He said the first time he got the revelation of divine healing, he came to church and said, "God can heal you. God can deliver you." He left that service and then the devil hit his mouth.
He said, "Let me see the mouth you used to talk and say God can heal." Affliction, boil, sore. Mouth couldn't walk. God can heal. Let's see the mouth you used to say God can heal. It's called the fight of faith, but faith wins. A healing evangelist, notable healing evangelist, you know, said he, one day he prayed for a man with arrhythmias,
laid hands on the man, and the man fell under the anointing. And then he too fell down with the man. That's anointing came upon both of them the first. When the man rose up, the man was healed of arrhythmias. He too was healed of arrhythmias because he carried it for years. People were caught out of wheelchair and all manner of things, and he had the problem. His body. Mystery. And while he was in the process of administering the power by faith to somebody, God said, it's now your turn. Your faith has won. You didn't stop praying for people despite your problem. Now, your case is settled. You didn't stop delivering people. You still believe what you believe despite the fact that the result is saying the otherwise. Now, it is time to be healed. The faith won. It was the fight. But the fight ended. Around the year of 1987, I fixed the time to go and pray for a lady who was demonically tormented with witchcraft. Well, I mean, firebrand young men. That 33 or so, 4 years ago. And the same night that I will pray the next day, I had such a terrible oppression in the night that appeared like I was the one that was in need of the prayer. That is the kind of thing you will have that look like, who are you going to pray for? Physician, heal yourself first. I told the devil, I have gone. And I went with anger, extra anger. I will show you, devil, that even if the doctor is sick, he can still prescribe. Hey! I prayed for that lady. She told me the other day she was 50 years old. Now has her five, six children. I prayed for her. The devil checked out forcefully. I said, what happened? He said, I saw them. They were running dogs. They were running. He said, as you prayed for me, I came there and said, I saw them. They were all running. Dogs. Plenty. They were running. It's not today. It started. I prophesy to you today, in the name of Jesus, everything around your life that is challenging your faith and challenging your belief and challenging your conviction, today, that challenge is over. That challenge is over. That challenge is over. Everything that the enemy has tried to use to make you confused, to make you drop your conviction, to make you think otherwise, to make you talk otherwise, to make you behave otherwise, I declare the challenge is over. The battle is over. The affliction is over. And that proverb I just said, and you won't be a sick physician. You will never be an afflicted person trying to deliver other afflicted people. Because that was a solitary and a friend, the devil came to confront what I was going to do. And he saw fire like he never saw. Everyone today who has anything in your life that looks like a negative situation, contrary to your revelation, today it is over forever. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. If you need that, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Is anybody getting anything here tonight? What do you do in the face of the confrontations of the enemy? Number one, refuse to shift ground. This is 3A. Refuse to shift ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. Be strong. Refuse to shift ground. And then number two, move from faith to trust. Move from faith to trust. That was what I said I would tell you. You are too quiet for us to serve. I better die serving God than to live serving your useless God. That's what it means. He's not my God because he can deliver me from the fire. He's my God because he's my maker. That is trust. That is trust. He's not my God because he can give me a husband. He's my God because he's my maker. He's not my God because he knows how to give me money. He is my God because he is my creator. I am not serving him because of what he can do. I serve him because of who he is. Listen to me. When you move from faith and you go into trust, you disarm the enemy. He loses the battle. Leave this man's case. All demons report back to headquarters. We have lost that one. Our attempt is to make sure he changes his mind about God. Now that everything we have done, he has not changed his mind about God, let's look for another victim. Our main issue is to see if we can make him change his mind. Either backslide or reduce his commitment. Let him stop going to church. Let him stop serving God the way he serves. Let him stop praying with the fire he prays. Let him stop doing the things he does. Let him stop evangelizing. Let him stop doing all those things. But now, he has said, even if he gets a miracle or not, he won't stop. So let's not waste our time. That is trust. Faith is, I serve because I have a God who can do anything for me. Trust says, I serve not because of what he can do for me, but because I have chosen to serve him because he's my creator. I am an all-weather servant. Unconditional servant. It's not predicated on what he does or what he doesn't do. It's just he's my God. That was how we're raised. When we grew up in the Lord, that we didn't present prayer requests. You didn't come to church and say, what is your prayer request? In the early late 70s revival, nobody asked for prayer requests. Nobody, nothing. You just didn't come to church and say, what is your prayer request? In fact, we didn't even have testimony line. Nobody said, oh, you are healed, you are on your own. Just go home. Am I coming? Everybody just serve God with sincerity of motive and primitive purity of purpose. It doesn't matter what he gives me or he doesn't give me. That is not in the equation. Am I communicating? We didn't even know that there was any benefit in serving. We didn't. It's now that we are knowing. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. We just read it and passed. We didn't remain on he shall bless. What we saw is he shall serve. Hallelujah! Is somebody receiving anything tonight? That was what Job meant in Job 13:15. Even if he kill him, Satan. Even if he kill me, Satan, I will still trust him. So you are wasting your time. Even if he kill me, Satan. Satan advised himself, and God turned the captivity of Job. In case you said God does not like me, I am ready for him to kill me. Somebody say amen. I prophesy to somebody here tonight, the devil is giving up on your case right now. The devil is giving up on your case right now. There are people watching via the satellite and the internet. The devil is giving up on your cases right now. Shout the loudest. Amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Did anybody get anything here tonight? Is this practical enough? Let me give you one more practical point or two. Number four is the negative experiences of others. The devil uses the negative experiences of others to manipulate people's expectations. The negative experiences of others. He uses that to manipulate people's expectations. It happened to Elijah. Elijah began to lose faith in God when he began to compare himself with those who went ahead of him. At the threat of Jezebel, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, "Lord, it is enough, let me die." But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." What am I even trying to achieve? What point do I want to prove self? Who before me has ever called down fire? Yeah? Oh, look at all the prophets that they persecuted and dealt with before me. Is there any way I can escape such? I am not better than my fathers. They hailed them, stoned them, garnished their sepulchres. What am I trying to achieve? That was Elijah's challenge. I'm about to say something. I don't want you to forget it for life. People's experiences must never form the basis of personal expectation. Must never form the basis. People's experience must never form the basis of personal expectation, irrespective of who those people are. Meaning of it is, if it is broken down, you must not expect that what has happened to somebody or happened with somebody is what can happen to anybody. It must not be expected. When Herod beheaded James and stretched his hand on Peter, he wanted Peter and the church to expect the same outcome for their lives. That is, I can tackle James, and Peter, I can tackle you too, and tackle anybody. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, you look at what the scripture says. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Those were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But look at this. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I will stop there. The church seemed to have said, "Herod, you took us by surprise with James, but you can never take us by surprise with Peter." "Herod, you must have succeeded with James, but Peter is not James." But Herod wanted them to expect the same outcome, but they refused. Am I communicating here today? Let me say this. Your revelation should form the basis of your expectation, not people's situations. Your personal revelation should form the basis of your personal expectation, not people's situations. What you saw and you are persuaded of from the scripture to form the basis of what you expect out of life. You know the kind of thing the devil wants to show you? Your family background. Look at yourself and look at everybody who came out of your family.
How far? Who has become anything? And where do you think you are going? Somebody shared something very, very terrible with me the other day. That in a major portion of this country, successful parents didn't produce successful children. Terrible. That this man is general this or sometimes about this. In their old age, they are still sustaining their children. That is, this one was once a so and so. Where is his child? Nowhere. Nowhere. Still feed from him, live from him. If it is a curse, it is broken. No, but there are people who broke that. Broke that since. I knew of some people personally that I know, influential people in a particular kind of trade. They went up, all crashed down, and there was no child that could exceed where the father was, except in some few exceptions. Am I communicating at all? So I show you all that. See where you are coming from. Who has been able to cross that limit? Tell the devil, I am crossing it. I am crossing it. Me and my children and my generation, we are crossing it. Because I saw it in the scripture. That the seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. Blessed is he that feareth the Lord. His generation shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Take your seat. I feel like I'm inside the convention. Always. He will show you now. He will show you your family background. Another thing he will show you may be your classmates, your contemporaries. See all those who are in the university together. Where are you? You have even tried. See where you are. None has reached here. See all the people you are in the same primary school together. See where they are. See where you are. Calm down. Well, let me show you the worst one. He might show you fellow Christian brethren, some of whom may be more spiritual than you in your mind. So can you see that one? He prays more than you, he fasts more than you. But okay, let's see. What about you? What do you think you can attain here? In fact, he may show you a super spiritual person. Super spiritual. And tell you, look at, do you, okay, are you, now this one has a mantle on his life. And yet, look, the devil is a wicked devil. But I'll tell you three things. Take your seat. First, don't form your expectation based on people's experience. Because you don't have the full picture. You don't have the full picture. You don't have the complete picture. You don't have the complete picture. You don't have the complete picture. Don't accept people's experiences as the base of your expectation. I'm saying that another way, it's the same thing. Because you don't have the full picture, you don't have the total picture. Somebody passed on some time ago, good man,
No, in every sense of the word, in every sense of the word, a good man, fireful, anointed, and so on. And while I was in contemplation of what really happened, what went on, I was confronted and presented by the same family of the person. All the concluded preparation he made, concluded, finalized. See, I need to do this because my time is not much. I need to do that. And when this happens, this is what you should do. If you don't have that insight, to you, it was an enemy attack. Am I communicating? You don't have it. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints are gathered at home, we shall tell the story how we overcame. We shall understand it better. By there are things we understand only there. There are people, I said to you before, who made a vow. If I live further and my behavior will take me to hell tomorrow, Father, take me today. There are people who say that. Yeah, and God, yes, passion for God and in many ways, in those 70s, early 80s, people, fire for God. I can't go to hell. Whatever will take me to hell, take me out of this world before it happens. And God saw it coming. Maybe a strange Jezebel is about to enter his life and deviate him to hell. Maybe he's about to enter into an occultic business deal. Maybe he's about to do something. And God said, okay, just sleep. And the man slept. And no waking up. And everybody is wondering what happened. And God said, I saw it coming. If you don't want such things to happen, there are other ways to pray. Lord, permanent victory over enemy distraction. Keep distraction away from my pathway. Give me capacity to be permanently victorious over the enemy. But as for me, I shall fulfill my days. And I announce to you today, in the name of Jesus, as for you, you shall fulfill your days. You shall fulfill your days. I prayed for a man. He was HIV positive. He was like a skeleton wearing skin when I saw him. When they were bringing him about 5 hours drive away to come to Abuja here, the vehicle stopped on the road to resuscitate him like 5 times. Pouring water, doing everything. When he came, I packed this man in my hand, drew him close to my chest. I knew him before. With all the passion I could muster. And I dropped him on the ground. He landed on his feet, strong. Walked, staggered like this a little bit at first. Walked into the car. Exactly 2 weeks later, he drove himself to my house. I looked at him. I said, what is this? He said, I came to show you myself. Wow. I celebrated, gave the Lord victory for that liberty. On and off. Suddenly, I heard that he passed. I said, what? I know the way the human mind thinks, and suddenly, not immediately, much later. And I said, Lord, what happened? I had no answer till after 6 months. And the wife came and said, I know you may be questioning what happened, but this is what I want to tell you. He said, when you prayed for him, he was perfectly healed, but he fell back into iniquity. And then you prayed for him, he was healed again, and fell back again like 6 times. That is on and off and on and off. He said, at the final time, while he was down, he said, God, thank you for healing me this time. But after this healing, just take me. Yeah, he said, just take me so that I can be sure I have heaven. Just let me go. He went in that statement. And the woman came and told me, this was what happened. I said, really? God is faithful. You will not end like that. In the name of Jesus, you will not end like that. If you are saying amen, stand on your feet and shout the loudest, say amen. Stand upon your feet and shout the loudest, say amen. You don't know the full picture. That's the summary. You don't know the full picture. You don't know the truth. There are people who make dangerous vows to God. Lord, if you bless me, I do this, I do that. God, bless them, bless them, bless them. Nothing happened. So the enemy came against them like a bulldozer. And there is no defense. They crashed. See, but this man, I even met him in church. Why is he looking for what to eat now? You don't know the full picture. What have I said in terms of what to note? Don't form your expectation based on people's experience. Number two, always remember that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Doubt everything but the word. Doubt everything but the word. Doubt everything. Doubt every reason the devil is giving except the word. Doubt everything but 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 the word. Finally, let me tell you, if your revelation, that's third, is not their revelation, their expectation is not your expectation. If your revelation is not their revelation, their expectation is not your expectation. And don't think that because somebody has been 20-something years in church, he has revelation. It doesn't mean. I've seen pastors who have zero revelation of anything. They don't understand. I sent somebody to help me distribute a particular resources to help me give some pastors in some rural places or something. Just assist me in some particular place. And the person that was sent cut some money out of it for himself first. And he said it is tight. He's paying himself tight out of it. Help me give these 10 people 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Help me give them this amount of money. And the person I sent, okay, I separate this. Kai, and you want God to watch you. And so when you see people stranded and suffering, don't over complain. There are people who eat welfare. What money meant for people, they eat it. Even, somebody traveled and they went for a particular program, like a government kind of program. And they are meant to write airfare, write this, write that they spent so that they can bring back to the office.
all the people in the group agreed that they would double the amount. If FA is 20,000, write 60,000. What manner? The sister said, a member of this church said, I won't do that. I cannot do that. To the point where she realized that the whole thing came from the head. Oh yes. It's been organized all the way from top. The top has a hand in it. And such a person may be in church. One church or the other. You know, duping government, duping systems, duping people, duping everybody. And then you begin to question God that this or that happened. Or that why has this person not, you know. Please stand up on your feet. Let's stop here. This is evening mass. You know. You don't know the total detail. Be upstanding. I was talking with a billionaire the other day. Christian, neat man. He told me, he said, if you give him this amount of money, say, this is $1 million. Hold for me. He said, he will keep it where you gave it to him. He said, you will meet it there. He said, when you come back, you will meet it intact. That is in the note and the denomination in which you gave him. He said he won't as much as invest it and return it back to you when you need it because you didn't ask him to invest it. So God is looking for this kind of people. He said, you didn't tell me, you only told me, hold it for me. So I am holding it for you. He said, how you gave it to me is how you will meet it. He stopped doing government contracts since 2009 because he doesn't want any problem of give me this back. Give me this kickback. He said he doesn't want any such problem, so he stopped since. So he deals with private organizations and deals with this and that and comfortable billions. You can look for him and ask for his services and he will give you his terms without any condition from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So this is the real situation. This is the real situation. And I believe that God is raising a set of people that will let the world know that the world works. And you are among those people. If you are among them, you say louder, amen. If you are among them, you say the loudest, amen. If you are among them, you shout the loudest, amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Remain standing up on your feet. I have one more point, but it is a summary of all the points. And that is called the wrong company that will destroy your faith. The wrong company will speak the wrong things to your ears. The wrong company will show you the wrong things. The wrong company will discuss with you the wrong experiences. Can position you for negative confrontations. In Acts chapter 4 verse 13. The faith of Peter and the faith of John exploded. Because they were with the master. The same way your faith can explode with the right person, in the same manner your faith can disappear with the wrong people. Their influence will begin to shape your thought, begin to shape your choices and your belief, begin to walk on your steps. All those who went with Absalom were destroyed. Hallelujah. It's a new day. It's a new day. You believe that? Say it louder. Amen. Let me summarize everything to say tonight. Hear the word. See the word. Expect the word. Do the word. That's summary. Hear the word.
see the word. Above everything, let the word of God form the major bulk of your hearing. Word or word-based things. See the word. When you receive instructions from the scripture, turn them to pictures. Hear the word. See the word. Expect the word. Not expect what happened, what somebody's expect. Expect what the word of God says to expect. And do the word. And then associate with worded people. Word-based people. That's summary. But to just summarize everything. Then your faith will be in place. Say it louder, amen. If somebody has been blessed today, give Jesus a big shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. A loudmost shout of victory. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are and lift and begin to appreciate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the I Am that I Am, and the Rose of Sharon, and the Lily of the Valley. Jehovah Rapha Kamekadesh, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Worship to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Adoration to your name. Worship to your name. Go ahead and give him the praise for what you have heard tonight. For what you have heard tonight. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Because so much time is taken, I would like you to do the rest of the praying at home. You will lift your hands and say, Father, just those five things. Father, I receive the grace to hear the word. I receive the grace to see the word. I receive the grace to expect the word. I receive the grace to do the word. I receive the grace to associate with worded people. I receive the grace to hear the word. I receive the grace to see the word. I receive the grace to expect the word. I receive the grace to do the word. I receive the grace to associate with worded people. I receive that grace. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth. Jesus, blessed be your name. You know that song? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old. Give me that old time religion.
It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old. Give me that old time religion. Everybody, everybody, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion.
It was good for Paul and Simon. It was good for Paul and Simon. It was good for Paul and Simon.
One more time. Give me that. Give me.
Give me that old time.
Give me, give me that old. Give me that old. You can do it right and rise high in life. Inside what I have preached some things that are incidentals. They are incidentals. The meaning of that English thing, they just came in along the line. I just mentioned the billionaire. I didn't prepare. It's not part of my notes, but it just came in. I don't want anybody to ask me, bring this back. So I just faced production, manufacturing, faith, private sector, and all those kind of things. Whatever you give me, where you gave it to me, that's where you meet it. You say, keep this for me, I'll collect it in 3 years. It will be here till 3 years. I won't even trade with it, because he asked me, trade with it for me. I was saying that when I was talking about, you don't know the total picture. And we can do it right. I sense God is restoring rightness in dealings so that He can thoroughly bless His people for this end time harvest. You will lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to hear the word, to see the word, to do the word, to expect the word, to relate with other people. And if you are here tonight, just a moment. If you are here tonight, instrument, if you are here tonight, you need to make it right with God. You've been convicted by the preaching you heard. You've been touched by the preaching you heard. You want to make it right with God. While the prayer is on, quickly step forward here. Carry your Bibles and your bags and make it right with Jesus. Pastor, I've been touched by this message. I need to rededicate myself to God. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I need to be changed. Quickly come forward here. While they are coming forward, the rest of us lift your voice and talk to God. Lord, tonight I am here. Help me to do it right. Help me.
Help me, Lord, to do it right.
You remember that song?
Yes.
You know the song. While the song is on, carry your Bibles and your bags and come forward. And while they are doing that, lift your hands and help me, Lord, to do it right. Help me, Lord, to do it right. Hold on, that person just check.
Show me, Lord, the way to go. Show me what to do. Oh Lord, let me know your will in everything I do, Lord. I cannot afford to miss a word. I cannot love what I recognize. I cannot miss out of your will. To do.
comforter. Those of you in the front here, place your right hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, deliver me from the power of sin. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Help to live for you, grace to do your will. I receive it now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God be released upon you. And I call it done. In Jesus' name, amen.